everyone, and welcome to Nella's Tin Trunk Podcast. I'm very excited about my guest today. Mike Jackson is one of my favorite people in the whole world. And both he and his wife are family, friends, and very important parts of our lives. He is also a retired general in the British Army, more formally known as General Sir Mike Jackson. I literally met Mike and his wife, Sarah, on my first day of living in Kenya. They are my husband James's cousins and were out visiting. They had just returned from a safari in the Maasai Mara, and I had just landed into my new African life. The conversations that the three of us had, together and individually, that first week of life in Africa were important and not always easy. In some ways, they brought me face to face with this decision I had made to pick up, leave Italy, give everything away, books, clothes, my mountain bike, my Vespa, and the one thing I regretted, my huge stock of olive oil from our 900 trees, and move to Lake Naivasha, Kenya. It was from that first meeting that I knew Mike and Sarah were not just hugely important to James, but were also the kind of people I wanted in my life, straight-talking and also totally supportive and loving. And now, 20 years later, that's what I got. When we are in England, we always try and stay with them, and very happily for us, whenever they come to Kenya, they stay too. And they love Kenya, and Africa, for that matter. Which is what you will now hear about in my chat with Mike. Mike Jackson served as the chief of the General Staff, the professional head of the British Army, and is known for a very distinguished military career, for which he is highly respected and still sought after for opinions, interviews, and such on the goings-on of the world. And if you want to see a side of Mike that I love, search Mike Jackson and the Telephone on the internet, where you will find an interview in which he dispatches an annoying telephone in quite a fun way. I think it pretty much went viral, so it should not be hard to find. In our conversation, we speak of a great love of Mike's, Africa. His visits were marked by adventurous trips with Sarah all over the continent, jumping into a Land Rover or Land Cruiser, and you will hear that there is a preference, and seeing what the day brings. I had wanted to interview Mike about his love of Africa for a while, and so was thrilled to sit down outside my office on the roof and gaze out over the Great Rift Valley while we chatted. I hope you enjoy. And by the way, happy birthday, Mike. Oh, I'm so happy to be sitting here with you, Mike. It's a lovely afternoon here at home, and we're sitting outside having a chat I've been hoping to have for a very long time. So thank you.
Now's the moment.
Now's the moment, because you're back visiting. You came last year, same time of year, getting away a bit from the UK cold for your beloved warmth in Africa. So let's start there. Why don't you tell us first, you know, how you came to Africa in the beginning and what was it about Africa that caught your heart?
Well, I first came to Kenya over Christmas and New Year of 85, 86. Why? Well, I'd always wanted to come to Africa. It was my first time. I was relatively newly married to Sarah. We've been married about 6 months. And I had a three-week window. I was in the army at the time, but I got 3 weeks leave thereabouts. And off to Kenya we went, and had the most marvellous 3 weeks. We travelled a lot in a borrowed Land Rover, including midnight mass at Nairobi Cathedral.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
I've never even been there.
Yes. Which is, again, when I first realized that Kenya was on the move. And why do I say that about a church service? Because the bishop was black, his chaplain was white.
Oh, really?
And that made quite an impression on me when compared to where it would have been before independence. Mm. So this extraordinary country and the extraordinary continent started to get under my skin.
Right from the beginning. Where did you go on that trip, do you remember?
Yes, I do. Let me try and get this in the right sort of sequence. We started in Nairobi, obviously, where we were fortunate enough. The defence attaché was an old army mate.
Oh, yeah.
So we had a firm base. And then we set off to the north, up the Rift Valley, got as far as Laikipia, wanted to go to Lake Turkana, far too ambitious.
this is a place with very few roads and not great roads and very far away, way up by Ethiopia.
Well, we ran out of spare tires.
You're kidding.
I think we had three and we got that many punctures, and much against my wish, turned round.
Oh, so you were actually trying to get there.
Oh, yes. And I remember we found a garage in Maribel who could mend all the tires, and they did that. And whilst we sat on Main Street, Maribel, with a Tusker, my favourite beer, or two, Sarah suddenly said to me, "Hang on, look who's coming down the street." And it was Wilfred Thesinger.
Oh, really?
Yeah. With
in Maralal, which is in the middle of nowhere, by the way, everyone who's listening.
Yeah, it's a bit of a one-horse town. It's in the middle of nowhere. But here was this extraordinary meeting, and I bought him a beer.
That's so cool. Yeah. That's only in Africa, kind of thing.
Only in Africa. And then we came back via Meru.
And this is just you and Sarah in the car?
Just Sarah and I, yeah. And got back to Nairobi for Christmas Day. As I've said, we went to Midnight Mass. And then New Year's Eve was at the Matego Club. Hmm. And by which time the two daughters of our hosts had joined, and we all drove down then to the coast.
Right.
Can I remember the route?
Probably through Tsavo to Mombasa.
It was definitely
Did you go up to Malindi that time?
No, we didn't go to Malindi, not that. The attaché had a house just north of Mombasa, as I recall.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we drove back, yeah.
So it was basically big adventures in the car right from the start.
Yep. And the Mara. Mustn't forget the Mara. That was the first visit of many to the Maasai Mara.
And had you ever seen any of the wild animals? Like, this was first time to Africa, so you really hadn't seen.
Never.
That's quite a start.
Not in the wild.
Yeah, and to see all of that then.
Breathtaking.
Yeah. So what do you remember as the thing that was the most surprising, the part that you were like, I want to come back here and do more of this?
Everything.
It's true, because I know from my experience with you that you go to the Mara, you go to Laikipia, and you go to the coast a lot when you come down.
Yeah.
That was from 1985 onwards.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Then there was quite a gap before we came again. I couldn't give you the year.
But can you remember in general how many times you've come? That's just Kenya, by the way. We're not even talking about the rest, because you've come to Africa
all over.
I mean, you've come probably...
We've probably been to Kenya 7, 8, 9 times. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Something like that.
Since I've known you.
Yes, it's without doubt.
I mean, that's the last 20 years, and that's probably at least 6 times in just that. In just that.
But also, Kenya whet our appetite for more adventures in southern Africa.
So where else?
And so Namibia we've been to, I think, 3 times, which I find the most extraordinary and exciting country. Zambia, Tanzania, South Africa, of course.
Zimbabwe?
Zimbabwe, yes.
Maybe we should say, where haven't you gone?
What?
Maybe we should say, where haven't you gone? Malawi, you've been to Malawi,
yes,
I remember
yes,
that.
Yes, Malawi. Not Uganda, that maybe one day, but...
And Rwanda?
No.
Okay, so
no,
that's it. Those are two...
I think, the roll call complete.
And what did you love about Namibia when you say it just struck you?
The harsh beauty of that country. Mm. It is a harsh beauty, but that doesn't put me off at all. I like deserts.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know why. But I agree, though.
But I do like deserts. And people think it's all just sand, and it never is.
No.
You know, it changes constantly.
I also, I'm almost a young boy sometimes. I like trains and railways. And I think it still exists, the Desert Express.
In Namibia?
In Namibia.
I don't know.
Which takes you from Windhoek to Swakopmund overnight, almost 24 hours, and you put your Land Rover on a flatbed.
Oh, really?
And take it with you.
Gosh, I wonder if that exists.
It's wonderfully old-fashioned. Delightful journey.
Wow. So that's from sort of middle of the country to the coast.
Yes, to heading west, basically, to Swakopmund.
Which is a very odd little place in a way, isn't it?
Yes. Well, we found ourselves staying in the Hansa Hotel in Kaiser Wilhelmstrasse, Swakopmund. And he said, is this ever? Well, of course, that German infantry, it wasn't a German protectorate, I think they called it. It wasn't for very long, but it left its mark.
Yeah, I mean, I was there.
And I speak German, so I could chatter away.
Yeah, you still can go to bakeries that are super traditional.
Things
you find in Germany.
Bäckerei. Yeah. Apfelstrudel.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, so you drove, and Namibia has great roads. Everyone who lives in East Africa talks about the quality of the roads in Namibia.
The roads are brilliant. The tarmac roads are maintained well, no potholes. The dirt roads are beautifully maintained. Mm-hmm. And you see the graders at work. And there's hardly any traffic.
No, exactly.
No.
And safe. Yeah, so it's one of the few places I think... Well, we can get on to that after, actually, because we're talking about years ago, but self-driving isn't something, for example, that I suggest to my clients when they come anywhere except Namibia. If you wanted to, you totally could.
Namibia, I wouldn't hesitate
exactly
to take the wheel. Besides the roads are very good, there's very little traffic.
Yeah.
Except probably Windhoek, but that's the capital city.
Right.
No,
you've driven all over this place. You always drive yourself, basically, right?
Yeah,
so tell us some stories.
Point of honor.
Like, what, you know, three spare tires down. That's one story. What else has happened in your drives? You must have gotten stuck in the mud a few times. I remember one time in the Mara when you got stuck in the mud.
Yeah, we got stuck.
Do you remember? And we were pulling you, everyone, there were like 4 cars. We were all pulling the green machine, the Land Cruiser,
out of
the mud. And all the kids were playing around in the mud. And all of a sudden that elephant screamed, the matriarch came, and we all jumped into cars.
We had to cross the lugger.
Yeah.
It had been raining quite hard. The dear old Land Cruisers tyres weren't really up to it. But we got most of the
way.
And
it's heavy compared to a Land Rover.
And so the other vehicle pulled us out. And the kids were all running around getting muddy.
Yeah.
And then there's trumpet call.
Yeah.
She was in the bush and we hadn't seen her, but she was close. And it's probably the first and only time I've seen the... I think we had a couple of guides. They only did local Kenyan guides. And I think it's the only time I've ever seen guides, how to put it, not panic, not at all, perish that thought, but without doubt, get in the bloody car now.
I remember the dad doing that too. And our car was the closest car, so we ended up with like seven muddy children in the Land Rover.
That's right. Yeah. But other than that, I mean, there are punches that are inevitable.
And also, you just have to have an attitude, don't you, when you take off in a car, that you're headed to a destination and there needs to be a bit of a backup plan if something goes wrong.
You need a plan B. Mm-hmm. And if you have to institute plan B, you better have plan C, gelling, just in case.
Which is you love that. You and your maps. Yeah.
Africa with considerable respect.
I agree with that. But it is very satisfying to arrive covered in dust. We did it yesterday.
Yeah.
Covered in dust, an ice cold beer.
Yeah.
Journey's over.
I mean, I always say, I'm as happy as I can be. Give me a good 4x4. We'll come on to that. Perhaps a Land Rover versus Toyota. But a good 4x4, good pair of binos, a map, and a cool box of beer. And that is happiness. Somewhere in Africa.
You forgot the geography, the geology. Somewhere in Africa. So other places you've gone that you particularly loved of all those countries? We know you love Kenya.
Yes, and Namibia. I was very struck with Malawi. The lake is stunning. I think it was on that safari we took the train, Tanzara, I think I've got it right, from Dar es Salaam to the Salus.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's about 5 hours, 6 hours.
In Tanzania.
Yeah. Terrific.
The Salu is beautiful too.
Yeah.
And what about in Tanzania? Did you travel around in there, other places?
Tanzania, yes. Salus and Serengeti.
Okay.
Yeah.
All on different trips, obviously. What's the longest you've ever stayed here, do you know? Like how many weeks?
Three, I think.
Usually 3 week trips.
I would say three.
Especially if that was all your leave and work wise.
Yeah.
So what were the thoughts about the cars? Do you have a problem? Well, now this could get very controversial.
Well, it could. but I will have to split my affections. Being a soldier, I mean, grown up with Land Rovers, British Army Land Rovers. Two sides of the one coin. And the first time we came to Kenya, I think I said, we borrowed a friend's Land Rover, a British friend, an artist, who came to Kenya for 3 months or 4 months a year to paint, and had a Land Rover which he got when he actually, I think we paid him for it. It wasn't a free lane, but it was very handy. So there is that. And one notes that now you hardly see a Land Rover, whereas then they were everywhere. Mm. And I'm afraid the Toyota Land Cruiser won out in that battle. Mm.
I see that in the safari industry for sure.
Yeah. Whereas, it was for me, it was more of a love affair with the Land Rover to begin with. But coming here to see Cousin James, who had a rather ancient...
Even though it wasn't on the road yesterday, it is in the car park.
But it's a rather ancient Toyota Land Cruiser, which James, Cousin James, so kindly always let us have. And I have a bit of a love affair.
Yeah,
and it's christened in the family as the Green Machine.
Yeah.
Of which there are many happy memories.
Yeah. I know what you mean about the individual cars. I think when I talk to safari guides, they always say they much prefer to drive around in the Land Rover.
Yeah.
They don't get stuck. They're more comfortable.
If you get stuck in a Land Rover, you're a lousy driver. The Land Rover, the vehicle, is very forgiving and is built as a off-roader in whatever conditions.
Yeah. I think Toyota just took over the world of repairs, you know, and it was so much easier to get things to,
spare parts.
I think maybe that's changing because there's a lot of more modern Land Rovers nowadays coming through, but those old ones, who knows?
Yeah, the long wheelbase Land Rover converted for safari was a wonderful machine.
Yeah.
It really was, yeah. But there we are.
Yeah.
Well,
that brings me to my next question, actually.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're looking back on the change of cars to cars, and you're talking about having come here the first time in 1985, and now we're, 2024.
Nearly 20 years.
What do you see are the main differences? You know, you saw that glimpse of Kenya moving forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here we are, early 2024. First came late 85. So where are we? Can I do the sums? Almost 40 years.
Yeah.
Makes me too old. Yeah. The umbrella word, I think, is prosperity. The Kenya of late 85 was still quite obviously a country had huge potential, but it was unrealized. That's very black and white, and
right,
I shouldn't put it in such black and white terms. Now, downtown Nairobi was then permanent traffic jam, unsophisticated. It's so different now with the expressway and all of that. So that's increasing prosperity and three cheers.
Yeah.
But in individual bits below that umbrella of prosperity, communications.
Yeah, for sure.
Telecommunications. In 85, I was fortunate to be able to borrow from the embassy, from the defense attache, an early satellite phone, which were virtually impossible to speak to anybody on.
They're so hard to use, I think.
What?
They're so hard to use.
They are hard to use, you know, you've got to get lined up,
yeah,
and blah, blah.
Yeah.
Now, everybody's on a smartphone.
You don't, and there's Safaricom or Airtel towers pretty much everywhere. You're never out of... Very rarely, you might have bad signal, but it's pretty rare that you're totally out of signal.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The banking system.
Mm.
In 85, it was quite a performance to get some shillings. You know, you had to go to the bank. I think it's from early 80ms, Barclays DCO, our Barclays bank. But it wasn't. Now, of course, it's not a problem.
Right. And you don't need cash because you have M-Pesa.
You've got M-Pesa.
Yeah.
The roads, well, I've talked about Nairobi, but outside of Nairobi, there's a step increase in important roads being tarmacked, which makes, when it comes to trade and the movement of goods and all of that, and people, of course, such a difference.
Yeah, infrastructure has changed for me, even for me in the last 20 years. I mean,
I once took the Lunatic Express, so-called, from Mombasa to Nairobi. I think it broke down. I think it took about 14 hours. Now, on the new railway, high-speed railway, Nairobi Mombasa takes what, 5 hours? Something like that.
Have you done that yet?
No.
I haven't either.
That's on my bucket list.
Yeah, but I know that, like, when the boys, our boys, when they go to the coast, they'll often just get on the overnight train instead of take a flight because it's less expensive and they like looking at the countryside.
And it's, and it saves time, particularly if you go overnight. So is this modernization of Kenya from when I first saw it in just about any dimension you care to mention?
Yeah, it's true. And I sometimes struggle with that because what's happening is we're watching the people prosper more and there's tons of people. And then how do we reconcile that with the wildlife and the conservation areas? So that's why, you know, nowadays I talk more about the problem isn't really poaching. It's making sure there's enough space and working with community to protect animals. And this is the new, that's a very modern problem compared to.
Not confined to Kenya, but there are, I mean, I share that understanding of having to work out the balance between human development and caring for the environment and the wildlife in particular.
Luckily there are a lot of people who want to see that work.
But you know, you see up in Laikipia, there's something of a struggle over grazing rights. Same in Amboseli. When we were last in Amboseli, 5 years, 6 years ago, there was tension between the game reserve side and grazing.
And grazing, and retaliation. I mean, obviously what happens is that you end up with those conflicts because if you're grazing cattle and there's not enough impala or zebra or whatever, then what do leopards and lions go and eat? They eat goats and cattle. So this is where...
Oh, a domestic cow, good meal for a lion.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
And much easier prey than a wild creature.
Yeah. So what do you remember as your most wildlife speaking? What were the most amazing experiences with African animals?
So many.
I know. Just see what if one pops up.
So many. Gosh.
The migration. I remember driving
with you the migration.
To the migration. Watching the wildebeest
cross.
It's
a bit of a cliche in a way.
Yeah.
And yet it is the most extraordinary spectacle.
Yeah. We saw some very good migrations
we did.
I mean, migrations. I should say crossings, because the crossing is when they cross the river.
Yeah. And it is primeval. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty visceral stuff.
With the crocs.
With the crocodiles and the zebra and wildebeest. And I remember watching on one occasion, we were actually watching... The zebras and wildebeest, and then all of a sudden, just below the vehicle, there was a half bank, by the, of the river, two lionesses on their bellies.
Hmm. Just waiting.
Always in touching distance.
Yeah, yeah.
Very exciting.
Do you have a favorite African animal?
Ooh. The lion is the lion. He is the king of the jungle.
Mm.
And everybody wants to see the lion.
Yeah.
You can put up with not seeing whatever of the big five, but everybody wants to tick the lion.
It's true.
Although
my first time here, I never saw
the other big
lion.
Cats, the other big cats, they are so beautiful.
Yeah, we got some very good leopard last year. Do you remember? We saw some great leopard last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the warthog. Common old garden, but a rather lovable creature in their behavior.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you're lucky because you got to show this to your children, right? You have shared your passion for Africa with them.
I think they've got the bug as well. I can't remember how many times we've been with the wider family, but it's quite a few.
Yeah.
And indeed, my younger son, Tom, and his fairly recently married and even more recently fathered a grandson, they're here in a few days' time.
Yeah, well, this will be Heath's first time in Africa.
Yeah, and he's only 14 months or 15 months or thereabouts. So unfortunately, just a bit too young.
Well, he'll be back, though.
But there'll be future times, exactly. I have no doubt.
And he'll know when he grows up that he came from when he was that old. Like how much our boys love saying they were born here or they, grew up here. And it's also a really good place to bring small children because everyone's so helpful, Everyone, the African generally, all the people, not just the women even, but they all love kids. It's like bringing a kid to Italy, They love children.
They all love children.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the other aspect of my umbrella of prosperity, it probably doesn't quite fit, but nonetheless, Kenya, one has to face up to the fact it's had political problems.
Mm.
One hopes very much that those are now behind and that the tribal differences are now resolved for a stable future. Mm. I mean,
yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, I'm hopeful about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there anything else you want to add before I let you go and
Nella,
have a sundowner? cold Tusker awaiting?
No, I think we've covered the ground.
Well, I think you'll be coming back as much as you can forevermore, right? You come you come pretty much once a year.
Yeah, I've got 80s on the horizon. Yeah, one slows down, sadly, but I hope this is not the last time by far.
We do too.
Yeah.
Well, thank
you. Of course, the other thing is, it's where are we? 1st of February.
Yeah.
The English climate in the winter is saying, get out of here.
Yeah.
And there's no better place than
Africa. You've got cousins in Kenya. You're like,
there's no better
place. It's just
an
8-hour flight.
That's all.
Well, I hope you keep coming every year, and I'm so grateful for this chat.
Kind.
Thank you very much. I know I begged and begged, and now I got my wish come true. So thank you, Mike.
There we are. A pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Nella's Tin Trunk Podcast. Wishing you joyful adventures. Until next time.